ಸಹ ವೀರ್ಯಂಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. Thing called pursuit itself is possible on the part of the human being because of his being distinct from other living beings in terms of self-consciousness, his knowledge of right and wrong, and the will power, the capacity to choose to do a given action. We have seen there are four human pursuits. The word pursuit in Sanskrit language, arthaha. The word pursuit means arthaha. Arthaha itself means arthyate iti arthaha. That which is sought after is arthyaha. That which is fundamentally sought after is arthaha. And there are four arthas, four pursuits. Artha artha, kama artha, dharma artha, and moksha artha. So artha artha means the pursuit of anything for security is artha. Anything pursued for security is artha. And pursuit of artha makes one tired. And for a change from the routine, whatever a man does is a pleasure, which is a pursuit of kamaha. And a dharma is a word which cannot be translated into any other European languages, because the word dharmaha can be understood in its complete sense when we understand the Lord more, by understanding the Shastram more. The more we study and understand Shastram, the more we understand the concept of Ishvara, the more we understand the Dharma. Anyway, here, Dharma is not just the righteousness or ethics or values or even charity or charitable activities. But charitable activities come under the category of Dharma. Being ethical comes under the category of Dharma. Being righteous is Dharma. Even following values is Dharma. Any service, whether one is paid or unpaid, any activity done with presence of mind, not do the needful, is also Dharma. But Dharma will be understood, the more we study Shastram, the more we understand the teaching, the more we understand Dharma. Then, the last Purushartha, otherwise called the absolute ultimate Purushartha, is Moksha. Because the word Moksha, even though it means freedom, directly, literally it means the word freedom, but actually what it implies is happiness, because a human being pursues freedom. He seeks freedom from the unwanted. The unwanted, undesirable happens to be unhappiness, sorrow. Freedom from unhappiness, sorrow, implies the happiness. Therefore, moksha indirectly implies happiness. For happiness is the pursuit here. And this moksha purushartha, the pursuit of moksha, otherwise called pursuit of happiness, is said to be the Paramapurushartha, Paramaha Purushartha, the exalted of the human pursuits, because even though man pursues artha for security, if we ask this question, why does man want to be secure? Then the answer will be, the security is also for happiness, because the happiness is, one sees, seeks happiness in being or feeling secure. Even the enjoyment of pleasures is ultimately for happiness. Whether a sensory pleasure or intellectual pleasure or aesthetic pleasure, experience or enjoyment of any pleasure is ultimately for happiness. Even a life of dharma, and living a life of dharma is also for one's own happiness. Even when we do any service to others, anything when we do for relieving others from pain also, we may think we have done great service. Of course it is very great, really doing, serving others is very great, but still, in service also, through service, in serving others, also we seek our own happiness. Therefore, ultimately, what we seek through artha, kama and dharma, in all, through all these pursuits, what we ultimately seek is happiness only. Therefore, happiness is to be understood as the exalted of the ends, the absolute, ultimate end, and for which other ends become subservient, relative ends. In fact, even though we are seeking happiness, it does not mean other ends should not be pursued. In fact, all the ends are equally important, that the whole life is lived for this happiness, for accomplishing the end called happiness, the moksha. But to live the life, it is inevitable for one to pursue artha and kama. But this artha and kama are pursued as relative ends to live the life in conformity with dharma, ultimately for moksha. This must be very clear. If moksha becomes the absolute end, then other ends become relative ends. Then it is possible for one to pursue artha kama in conformity with dharma. But if the moksha being ultimate end is not clear, then artha kamas will become the ultimate ends. When the means become the end, then the end, the search will be endless. When the end will be unaccomplished, and the search will be endless. It is very important for one to be very clear that absolute end is moksha. The very purpose of living this life is ultimately for this moksha. And here comes the doubt. The moksha, is it something to be attained, something to be achieved and accomplished? Like how artha is something to be achieved, accomplished by doing actions. So kama also has to be something to be attained. And the dharma, of course, has to be lived. And here moksha is something to be attained, accomplished as an end. When it is said to be an end, it is not something to be accomplished, attained, because moksha, according to Shastra, it is already there. In fact, the Shastra says, you are the happiness. If you are the happiness, then still why are you unhappy? Here the question might come, if I am the happiness, as Shastra says, then why am I unhappy? Why am I seeking or searching for happiness? The Shastra says, you are the happiness, because happiness can never search for happiness. The happiness is searching for happiness, search will be an endless search. Happiness cannot become happier than what it is. Happiness cannot become happy. Happiness cannot attain happiness because it's already happiness. The Shastra says you are happiness, and happiness is something to be. Then the question arises, why am I unhappy? The answer is, you are happiness, but your unhappiness is not because you do not have happiness, not because you are not happiness, but you do not know what happiness is. If you do not know what happiness is, means, and there's not knowing what happiness is, in fact, unhappiness. But knowing what happiness is, the happiness, the attainment of happiness as though. Really speaking, knowing what happiness is, attaining the happiness, attainment of happiness is as though attainment. Really speaking, happiness is never attained or attainable. Suppose if we ask, okay, if happiness is something to be attained in terms of knowledge, because it is already there, how to know this happiness? Where is it available? How is it available? Then again, the Shastram helps us to understand that happiness is available for recognition only as the nature of reality. What's the reality here? Reality of what? Reality of the universe. Here it is very important for one to understand what this word reality means. With reference to ocean, if we take this example of ocean, with reference to ocean, we can say water, the H2O, is the reality. Why? Because if we removed one substance called water, the substantive, the word, ocean and the wave will become meaningless. They are non-substantial names and forms. Which means the actual substance. Here, water is not dependent on the name and form ocean for its existence. Whereas the name and form ocean cannot exist independently without the water. Therefore, it is the water which lends existence to the name and form ocean. So that which lends existence to this ocean is water, therefore is the reality of the ocean. The same way, that which lends existence to this entire cosmos, this inexplicably vast cosmos, which cannot exist at all independently without the reality. And that the reality without which the universe cannot exist at all, and which lends existence to the entire cosmos of this multifarious, innumerably countless forms and names, that reality is here meant by reality, and knowledge of which is in fact knowledge of what happiness is. The reality of the universe and happiness are inseparable. In this context, it is very important to know happiness is a synonym of the term fullness. Understanding what fullness is in fact understanding what limitlessness is, or understanding what happiness is. And here, reality and fullness are inseparable, because reality is, the fullness is the very nature of the reality. For example, the water, the reality of the ocean, need not do anything specially in order to remain filling the ocean, in order to be full of ocean. So being full is the very nature of the water, the reality, with reference to ocean. Similarly, being full, with reference to this entire cosmos also, being full is the very nature of the reality, which means being full, we make it a noun form, it becomes fullness. And fullness is the very nature of the reality. And here, water and fullness, with reference to ocean, are inseparable. Here also, reality and fullness, with reference to cosmos, are inseparable, which means being full is the very nature of reality. How inseparable? You can remember this example, how heat and fire are inseparable. We cannot see the heat separately outside or far from fire, because heat is a very intrinsic property of the fire. In the same way, the brilliance or effulgence is the very nature of the sun. Just as brilliance and sun are inseparable, heat and fire are inseparable, fullness or happiness and the reality are inseparable. For knowing the fire is knowing what the heat is. Similarly, knowing what the reality is, knowing what fullness is. Knowing what fullness is, knowing what happiness is. Therefore, happiness is something which is already there, and happiness is, even though happiness is, it is as good as non-existent because of ignorance. So ignorance is covering, as though covering the happiness. Therefore, this discovery of happiness is nothing but discovery of the fullness, the nature of the reality. Therefore, discovery of fullness is discovery of what the reality is. And this is where we come to know of our ignorance of the reality. We never think whether there is a reality. And should we know that reality? Is the reality at all? We never think all these things. But here we come to know there is the reality which alone appears in the form of this universe. And we do not know what that reality is, even though that reality is all pervasive. Reality is there everywhere. We don't know what that reality is. And thereby we do not know what happiness is. Here we come to know of the value of the knowledge of the reality. Because knowledge of the reality is in fact knowledge of what happiness is, which is our choiceless ultimate end. Therefore, now the desire for knowledge of reality arises. And it is not possible for one to have desire for something which we do not know the value of. And knowing the value of the knowledge of the reality, knowing the value of what moksha is, naturally the desire for, the urge for knowledge of the truth or the reality arises. When there is a knowledge for, the desire for knowledge of reality arises, then the question comes, how can I know the reality? Where can I know the reality? The reality is all pervasive, everywhere, but still, and here. Again, the Shastram gives a clue. As an individual, and you are the seeker of happiness, and which is the nature of reality, for which you want to know the reality. If the reality or the truth of the whole universe is to be discovered, and yourself being part and parcel of this whole cosmos, you are not away from this universe, yourself being part of the universe, the truth of yourself is the truth of the cosmos. Therefore, just as the water, the truth of the wave and the truth of the ocean are not two different things, because wave is part of the ocean, wave forms part of the ocean, every wave forms the part of the ocean. Similarly, as every individual being part of the whole cosmos, the truth of individual and the truth of the total cosmos is one and the same. Hence the scripture says, the truth of the universe is available for recognition as the very truth of you, the individual. And here only we come to know, not only we do not know what the reality is, in fact, the truth of myself, the truth of an individual also, you do not know. If you know what you are, and you know what the truth of the universe is, if you know what the truth of the universe is, then you know what fullness is, you know what happiness is, which means you have already accomplished the moksha end. But the very fact that you do not know what you are, and here you come to know of your ignorance, of the self. So you do not know what you are, you do not know that you do not know what you are. Naturally, as a human being, you are blessed with this half partial knowledge that you know that you are. You know that you are, but you do not know what you are, and you do not know that you do not know what you are. This partial ignorance and partial knowledge being there, you are eligible for making this knowledge complete and total. Therefore, in total, all other beings remaining steeped in total ignorance, total ignorance is bliss. They are not eligible for this any self, this knowledge. Whereas a human being being blessed with half knowledge, the one who is blessed with the half knowledge is a human being, and a human being with this half knowledge, when he makes an effort and makes his knowledge total, and this total knowledge makes him Ishvara, he is eligible for this knowledge. And here comes, therefore, now one comes to know of the self knowledge, of value of the self knowledge. And this, therefore, knowing what the self is, in fact, is knowing what the truth of the universe is. And knowing what the truth of the universe is, in fact, knowing what happiness is and what fullness is. So knowing what fullness is, in fact, accomplishment of the end called moksha. Therefore, moksha and knowledge of the truth as the self are identical. Self-knowledge is, you say, knowledge of the self is knowledge of the truth of the universe. Knowledge of the truth of the universe is knowledge of what happiness is. Knowledge of what happiness is, in fact, attainment of happiness or moksha, which means A is equal to B and B is equal to C and C is equal to D. When you say A is equal to D, for self-knowledge is happiness and self-ignorance is unhappiness or bondage, sorrow. And here next comes the question, how to know what the self is? In this context, it is better to know that every human being has many problems and every human being is unhappy. There is no human being who is always everywhere with everybody happy. We are happy, we are not unhappy always, but we are not happy always either. We are happy sometimes, we are not happy sometimes. We are happy with some people, we are not happy with other people. We are happy some places, we are not happy everywhere. Which means everyone wants to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody. Therefore, everyone wants to be limitlessly happy. Limitless happiness is the ultimate human goal. And here, why a man is unhappy, why a human being is unhappy? If you ask, the answer will be because every human being has one's own problems. Problems are different for different human beings. Even though problems are varied and different, but still all of them have problems. And all the one's own problems, even different from others, is the cause for one's unhappiness. Therefore, it's a constant effort on the part of every human being to solve one problem or the other always. The whole life is spent in solving these problems in order to be happy. Really speaking, every time one problem is solved, again new problem arises. In solving every problem, the problem gives rise to a new problem, that is the very problem. Hence, the Shastram says, all the human problems of different human beings of all times, in fact, are based on one common human fundamental problem. Therefore, which is the root cause of these problems. In fact, if that fundamental problem is solved, then all these so-called problems will dissolve without being, without recurring to be solved. And what is that fundamental problem? With reference to this common human fundamental problem, we can say all the human beings are sailing the same boat, because because the scripture says man mistakes himself for something which he is not. It means you mistake yourself for something which you are not. The mistaking oneself for what one is not is called actually adhyasaha, an erroneous self-perception. This erroneous self-perception is a root cause of is the fundamental problem, which is the cause for all the human problems which are there. And this human problem, these different problems actually make man unhappy. Therefore, and here the question should come, why that is self-delusion or erroneous self-perception, which is the cause for all of the problems, the so-called problems of human beings. This self-delusion or adhyasaha, this erroneous self-perception, is because man does not know what the self is. You do not know what you are. Therefore, because you do not know what you are, you mistake yourself for something which you are not, which means you mistake the non-self for the self. You mistake yourself for something which you are not. Therefore, when the non-self is mistaken for the self, you do not know what the self is. You do not know what yourself, what you are. Therefore, you mistake the non-self for the self, and thereby all the limitations of the non-self are superimposed upon you and your limitations. When you mistake the limitations of the non-self as your limitations, limitations of the self, and naturally you have any notion, any image you entertain about yourself is erroneous notion. Why? Because you entertain a notion about yourself which is erroneous, because the notion you, the image you have about yourself, the notion you entertain about yourself is based on your erroneous self-perception, just because of your self-ignorance. Therefore, this erroneous self-notion, all the notions one entertains about oneself are erroneous. I am a mortal, I am small, I am insignificant, I am unhappy, I am inadequate, I'm going to die. Anyway, as many notions as possible one can have, all the notions are wrong notions, and with these notions are being there naturally, there comes the need, there's a pressure of wanting to prove oneself to be somebody different from what one is. And that Shastram says, you can never become bigger than what you are. You can never become happy than what you are. You are already what you want to become. You are already what you want to be. But still, this all wrong notions being there, I am inadequate, I am unhappy, I am a mortal, these notions being there, there arises the common human fundamental desire that I want to live long, happily. I want to be happy always, everywhere, and with everybody. And this, I want to live long, happily. I want to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody. These fundamental desires happen to be the natural emotional urge. It needs to be addressed like how hunger and thirst, the natural biological, need to be addressed. A cultivated desire can be fulfilled or not be fulfilled, like a desire for a television, a desire for a new watch or a new pen. Is a cultivated desire. Seeing somebody else having something, you may pick up some desire for some objects. You can fulfill or you not fulfill. You're not going to die, they're not going to affect you in any way. But the natural urges cannot have, you have no choice about fulfilling the natural urges. They have to be choicelessly fulfilled. Like this. This, I want to live long happily, I want to be happy always, everywhere with everybody, happen to be the natural emotional urges. They need to be choicelessly fulfilled. Hence, that desire being there, there's a fundamental desire caused by this fundamental problem of erroneous self-perception, which is the cause of self-ignorance, results in all other desires. Any desire for anything, a child's desire for a toy, or an elderly person's desire for a stick, or anybody else's desire for anything in the world, any desire for any object in the world, is in fact modified, converted form of this one fundamental desire. But all the effort to fulfill any desire is ultimately for the freeing oneself from the pressure of wanting to be different from what one is already. Therefore, these desires are there, and it's a constant effort to fulfill those desires. And these desires, as long as this fundamental desire is there, the desires will always be there. Desires are naturally there. That is why desires cannot be destroyed or suppressed or cannot be just given up. Desires have to be fulfilled. And as long as the fundamental desire is there, there will be desires. Any effort to destroy or undo the desires will be a futile effort. And here, any effort made to fulfill any desire will result in the arising of new desire, because desire will never come to an end, because the desire, root cause of the desire happens to be the fundamental desire of wanting to be happy always, everywhere and everybody. The fundamental desire happens to be the desire for living long, happily. This desire, it fundamental desire being there because of the wrong notion about the self. The wrong notion is because of the erroneous self-perception. The erroneous self-perception is because of the self-ignorance. Therefore, as long as the self-ignorance, the root cause of the problem being there, there'll be endlessly desires. And in order to fulfill those desires, one has to do a lot of actions. And when performing actions, there will be obstacles in fulfilling those desires. And those obstacles obstacles which happen performing one's actions are to fulfill one's desires really or become the problems of life. And these problems make really man unhappy. Therefore, unhappiness is not because of the problems. Unhappiness is not because of the unfulfilled desire. Unhappiness is not because of the even anything else. Unhappiness is absolutely because of this self-ignorance. Therefore, self-ignorance is the root cause of this ignorance. Therefore, self-ignorance is the unhappiness, and the self-knowledge is the only solution. Knowledge is the only solution. Nanya pantha vidyate ayanaya. We'll see the rest next class.